Well, we've all gone to history class a little bit today. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris, hour number two of our coverage. Padres baseball and other worldly topics. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Matt Scraby, today's champion in the Fantabulous Sports Game Show, which today had a little different category. If you're just tuning in, the category was for these guys to name the 17 men that have been president of the United States during the last 100 years. It all came down to one last selection after Tony passed on his opportunity. Scraby came up with, thanks to the television show The Simpsons, a reference to Calvin Coolidge, who was indeed the 30th president of the United States from 1923 to 1929. Says here that Calvin Coolidge had a taciturn personality and a dry sense of humor, and that earned him the nickname Silent Cal. Well, he's spoken loudly here today as Scraby wins it, despite the despite a lot of conjecture on the chat that you
Katrina is
that you
me.
Cheated. And I'm like, come on, people. I'm sitting right here with him. If Scraby cheated, he would win one of these once in a while.
Yeah.
So he's certainly not cheating.
Katrina on the chat has gone crazy for, or not gone crazy for me, but
she's happy for you.
Defending me because she said, Scraby, there were a few references. One of Monty Burns' dates referencing him knowing Coolidge, and Grandpa has a poster of Coolidge. There's also a reference from Principal Skinner to Bart, and so there are multiple references of Calvin Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge, if you watch The Simpsons. Well, that worked out for you. Ben Higgins likes to play alongside while you guys are playing, and with one answer to go, he wrote exactly this to me on a text. If they get Warren G. Harding, I'll be surprised. Harding was the 29th president. Okay. He was just before Coolidge, but he died suddenly in 1923. So he didn't make it to 1924. Thus, Warren G. Harding didn't make it to our list.
I'm impressed that Ben knew that, though.
He did, and I said it's Coolidge. And so you beat out everybody today, Scraby. Congratulations.
I would like to also recognize Jocelyn and Maria for being on my side while everybody else was.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are giving him a hard time out there. Believe me.
I'm a champ, and
you're a champ today.
And I know I'm a champ.
You are a champ today. You're also hilarious today because you tried to reference the fact that, yes, I believe Calvin Coolidge was the guy responsible for building the Grand Canyon.
I meant the Hoover Dam.
And everybody has jumped in, noting to Scraby that the Grand Canyon was not built by any one person or any amount of people.
No.
The Grand Canyon was basically formed by nature and the Colorado River winding its way through that canyon there. So,
are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Someone told me it was Jesus.
It's or him.
Yes.
According to this, what it says here when you Google who built the Grand Canyon, it says not built by any person. So there you go, Scrape.
I definitely knew the Grand Canyon
you did,
wasn't
huh?
carved out.
Are you sure you didn't think somebody carved the Grand Canyon? Want to remind everybody, more of this fun, not tomorrow, but Thursday. Tomorrow we have a very short show, like 30 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Because the Padres are playing a day game. But Thursday, we have a big old show, and Scraby and I are going to be out there live at Casa Octavio on the corner of 10th and J. It's right across from Petco Park, so you can't miss it. Corner of 10th and J. We start, obviously, the show at 2 o'clock. We'll be out there all afternoon till about 5:30. And if coming to see us isn't enough for you, we're going to be giving away three pairs of tickets to that night's Padres-Mets game. So make a day and a night out of it Thursday. Come on by, hang out with us at Casa Octavio, and then hopefully you win some tickets. You can go right on over to Petco Park and enjoy the game. For the rest of you, I do have a pair of tickets to give away to Friday night's Padres-Mets game, and I will do that shortly. I'm not going to let Scraby hold off much longer on that.
I was about to say, we should give those away now.
We're going to give it away shortly, I say, because right now it's time for you and I to do a little Daily Gambit number.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Before we get into what we did yesterday, baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
All right, before we get too deep into the Daily Gambit, I do want to tell everybody, Ha-Seong Kim not in the lineup tonight for the Padres. We'll try to get an update again here from Mike Shildt, but don't be surprised if he doesn't tell us anything again today, similar to what yesterday brought us, which was very little information.
I'm going to derail us a little bit.
But go ahead.
I was thinking about this walking lucky this morning.
Okay.
I don't have an issue with not knowing what is wrong, like,
right,
because we all have the privacy, you know, with our doctors.
That's fine,
and I understand that they're playing sports and it's part of the deal, but like, because they don't tell us exactly what's wrong with the shoulder, I don't have an issue with that. That's for Ha-Seong Kim only.
Okay, but what I think is important for us, and I think what we should know a little bit more, is the timetable for how long these guys are going to be out.
Okay.
And I don't think it's a worldly secret, you know, to say, well, you know, Ha-Seong Kim's probably going to be out 7 days, but I really don't want to tell anybody that. Why not? It really isn't that big of a deal. It's not changing, you know.
I agree with you there. It might change the
landscape of this country.
It might change
if Ha-Seong Kim is sitting out for a week or so.
It might change where, you know.
Nah.
I understand that part.
I don't know. Mike Shildt did what every manager does yesterday, so I'm not picking on him. But what I'm saying is, when everybody's asking, you know, what's the deal? What do we know? What don't we know? And basically what he tried to tell us is that they just found out like 30 minutes ago that the MRI was this and that, and they really haven't had time to figure it out. It was just hard for me to believe that. It just was. Finding out what's wrong with Ha-Seong Kim is far too important to this franchise to just kind of go willy-nilly on this thing.
Have you ever heard of an NFL player, and I have heard of this, where an NFL player gets injured and they say, well, we don't know until the swelling goes down?
I've heard that, but I didn't hear that yesterday from Mike Shildt.
But that's, I guess, something that's another one of those things where that's a private matter.
Well, fine. All right, then. You know what? Let's stop covering the team altogether. You know, it isn't a private matter.
Wait, what?
Well, we're fans of the team. We have media that covers the team. We want the information because we care. So provide a little of it. That's all I'm saying. You're right. Nobody would care Ha-Seong Kim's injury if nobody covered Major League Baseball. But the fact is, we do.
I get it.
So we care.
I understand.
It matters to us.
I understand wanting to know how long someone will be out for.
Well,
I do understand.
That's all I'm saying.
That.
You're right. You're right when you say, I don't care what his injury is. I mean, I hope the guy's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's an impingement or a jammed shoulder or a torn this or a, you know, broken that, you know, that is neither here nor there to me. I do want to know how long he's going to be out.
Do you have the rest of the lineup?
I do.
Okay. Is there any differences?
No, not really. Arise is DHing. Profar, Cronenworth, Machado, Bogarts, Merrill's in center, Peralta's in right, Campusano's catching tonight, and Tyler Wade is back at shortstop.
All right.
And that's, you know, again, going to go along with some of the discussion you had yesterday with people on the chat. You know, if Kim is going to be out, I think Kevin Acey did ask Shildt and get a leading answer on this yesterday, and that is, if Kim is going to be out for a while, Padres most likely would not just continue to sub Wade in every night.
Yeah.
They eventually would start, most likely, and again, we have to guess because we don't know, we haven't been told, but most likely if Kim's going to be out a longer period of time, Cronenworth will start playing shortstop and Arise will start playing first base and Solano will DH. That is if Kim's going to be out a while, but I don't know if they're, you know, ready to say that. No transaction has been announced.
No transaction.
As far as announced. We're putting him on the injured list, etc.
They can retroactive to yesterday because he did not play yesterday.
They could announce on Friday that it's retroactive till Monday
whatever. And I don't know this totally, but I think you have like 3 days from when they're not playing to retroactive it or something.
Yeah, I don't know all those rules.
All right, let's get into
that. That was a good daily gambit, I'll tell you one thing, man. we really raced through that, baby.
The first one would be, we bet on over under 6 innings for Brandon Pfaadt yesterday. Both of us said over. Both of us were wrong. He went 5 1/3. They still won the game, though.
And he got the win, so it was an okay day for him. They have a rookie catcher, Del Castillo, I believe his name is.
Oh, yeah, I saw his name pop up.
Yeah, he came in for the injured Gabriel Moreno.
Okay.
Gabe Moreno, and he's had 14 RBIs in his first 9 games, including a grand slam yesterday. So he's been quite a find for the Diamondbacks. Maybe they'll start talking about him for Rookie of the Year instead of Jackson
Merrill. Well, yeah, I mean, all you need to qualify, apparently, is like 5 games played. So, Padres, over, under, total score last night, 7 against the Twins. We both went over. We were both correct. It was 5-3.
We can thank the last guy up for the Twins. Got a base hit and knocked that last run.
Don't know who you are, but I thank you,
sir. Yes, there was people celebrating, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah.
Sportsbooks everywhere.
Yes, absolutely.
When that guy got that hit, forget who it was. I think it was Vasquez, got that shot down the line that Manny hustled and held to a single because he ran out into short left field to retrieve the ball.
Mm-hmm.
For all the people that say Manny doesn't hustle.
Dodgers were -1.5 on the run line over the Mariners yesterday. We both picked the Mariners. We were both wrong because the Dodgers won
3-0. Yes, Max Muncy returned with a home run.
Oh, I can't
Not only returned,
it.
But he hit a home run. Yeah.
Didn't Gavin Lux hit a home run yesterday,
Gavin Lux hit one, too. Gavin Lux has had a nice second half after an awful first half.
Well, let's hope it's not too nice.
Okay.
Michael King over under 6.5 strikeouts yesterday. We both went over. We were both wrong. He went 6.
Ah. Just missed it.
And then I got to ask you about this. Jakob Sinner and
Yannick Sinner
and Tiafo.
Mm-hmm.
Over under 22.5 games. You went over. I went under. It was under. It was 21 games. But I kept getting push notifications this morning that Sinner has tested positive for steroids, but he's not being removed from play.
Yeah, this is a weird one. Yannick Sinner is the number one tennis player in the world, right? He's number one. He's even ahead of Djokovic in the rankings now. He apparently tested positive for steroids twice.
Ooh.
And in recent time, but I guess they have ruled, and he says, thank goodness this is kind of behind me, I guess they have ruled that the positive test came from a massage therapist or something.
I'm sorry.
Don't shoot the messenger, okay? Don't shoot the messenger.
I mean, obviously, there's something.
They determined that the banned substance entered his system unintentionally through a massage from his physiotherapist.
So, if this is true, then every other athlete that has said this, it could be true.
Right. Everybody from now on just has to say, "Oh no, I got a massage from my physiotherapist." That's how this must have entered my bloodstream.
Wow.
Because he has gotten away with this.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
And Sinner. As you know, you wonder about this a little. I guess people could, you know, conspiracy people like you could think he's a top ranked player in the world. You're going to knock him out right now with the U.S. Open starting in a week and a half.
Well, yeah, because that's the rules, Chris.
I didn't say they shouldn't. I'm saying they determined that he was okay.
I get it.
But I see what you're saying, Scraby. I think there has to be a little bit of question around
this
thing.
I'm going to have to trust the tennis people.
And here's something that I think you will find interesting, okay. All of you out there.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay? Sinner tested positive for low levels of a metabolite of clostebol.
Oh.
It is a banned anabolic steroid that can be used for ophthalmological and dermatological use. Here's the line that you're going to like out there. It's the same drug for which Padre star Fernando Tatis Jr. was suspended by MLB. Something to think about.
Hold on. You just turned this all around.
On its head, right?
Because he said that he used a cream, right?
Who?
Fernando.
I don't remember what Fernando said, to be honest with you. I don't remember.
For like ringworm or something.
Oh, yes. There was something around the ringworm. I do remember that.
I guess you still have to check what's in it, but That's very interesting. If the tennis people don't think it's a big enough deal to suspend him.
Yeah, maybe Fernando got suspended erroneously. Or maybe you could argue that one way or the other.
You know, I'm going to leave the charge to sue Major League Baseball for stepping all over his name.
It's kind of a weird, ugly type direction to go. I wish there was no such thing as, you know, anybody ever trying to cheat by taking stuff. I just wish it would all go away. But the fact of the matter is they have to keep an eye on this stuff because guys and gals do try to get an edge. But if Fernando used something that he rubbed, you know, on his body, right? Some sort of lotion or cream absorbed through his body, and he was suspended by baseball for, what was it, 80 games? A long time.
Yeah, something like that.
And here's the number one tennis player in the world apparently had the same stuff enter his system, but they're saying unintentionally through a massage from a physiotherapist. Fernando probably should have said, no, I got this from my physiotherapist in a massage.
Well, that excuse didn't have happened yet, so he didn't know.
He didn't know about this excuse.
I'm not going to say that there's a conspiracy here, but I will say it's interesting.
Yes, it is a little eye-raising, eyebrow-raising.
Yes. As Tony would say, get your tinfoil hats on and your antennas in the air. I think we need to go to break and make
bets.
Yeah,
we'll do the rest of the big daily gambit when we come back after traffic. And in the next segment, I'm giving away the two tickets to Friday night's baseball game, I promise. So stick around for that. All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 3:23 is the time. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, at Petco Park. He will be in and out of here. He'll join us a little later for the Big Five. We also have an interview with Kirk Kenny coming up. One of our good contributors to the program, Kirk, with the latest on Danny O'Neill. Yes, get to know that name, Aztec fans. Danny O'Neill is the first true freshman ever to be named opening day starter for the San Diego State football team.
This has me very excited for no particular reason, but I think it's exciting.
Right. Yeah, it's good. The whole Sean Lewis thing has been good. Right, since day one.
Now we're going to actually see whether or not his coaching backs up his talk.
We'll find out. But I want him to do well. I expect him to do well, but I don't want to put too much, you know, in the way of expectations, just in case they, you know, they're going to stub their feet there. They're playing Oregon State. They're playing Cal. They're playing Washington State, Boise State. Some good opponents here. I think a lot of people, unfortunately, kind of are so wowed by Sean Lewis in a good way that it's bringing expectations to a higher level than maybe they should be. I mean, like, they were 4-8 last year. I know there's a lot of transfers and new coach and new quarterback and new everything, but going from 4-8 to, say, 12-0 is, you know, not like an automatic. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's definitely not automatic, but it can be done in college football.
I guess so. We'll find out. We'll find out starting in about 11 days for that. All right, tonight's Daily Gambit.
One thing before we go
into that. I'm going to give the tickets. Okay. I haven't forgotten, but I'll try again to forget.
Okay.
You're 2-3, by the way. I'm 1-4. After yesterday's action.
I'll take it.
I want to just say that we're the only show and the only people anywhere who actually give our records on this stuff. I watch these TV things, the gaming shows, the experts,
gambling,
this guy.
Bet.
Oh, yeah, this guy, that guy. They all make picks, but they never tell you how badly they did.
Here's something. We at least
stand up for it.
So here's something that I've done in the past with the guys in the room. I'll write down some of those expert bets, and then we'll share the next day if they got it or not.
Right.
And a lot of the time, they don't get it.
Of course they don't get it. If somebody could just go on TV and tell you who to pick and you picked it, we'd all be millionaires.
It's true.
But it doesn't work that way. New York Liberty -11, Dallas Wings. Liberty have the best record in the WNBA. Thank you.
Liberty and Wings.
The Wings are clipped, mostly. They're not having a great season. The Liberty are running away with things in the East. 11 is the spread. I believe it's in New York.
I'm going to go with Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
Seems like the Liberty. Yeah, they're playing well. Las Vegas Aces, Minnesota.
Wild.
No.
That's the hockey team.
That's the hockey team.
Lynx.
Lynx, thank you. I know that. It just kind of didn't pop into
place. Okay, that's not an easy one.
Into place. Vegas is the defending champs, right? 2 years in a row. Minnesota, I think, is having a slightly better season. I'll take Minnesota plus 5.5 here.
Okay.
But Las Vegas is home and favored.
I'm going to go with the Aces at home.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Minnesota, sticking with Minnesota. How about this? It's a little surprising to me. Twins are favored tonight by 1.5 over the San Diego Padres.
That is surprising.
I think it has something to do with Bailey Ober. He's a 6'9" right-hander who's a good pitcher for the Twins, and maybe a little lack of faith in the surprising Martin Perez.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you think here?
You're
working in San Diego. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think I don't. This is not me being a homer. I think they're going to win.
I think you got to pick the Padres because that chat can be ruthless.
No, and I also think that they've been playing so well, it makes it easy for me to pick
them. Run and a half at home, it makes sense to take them. Bryce Miller is pitching tonight. Did you know that?
Oh, wow. I didn't know he made his debut.
Making his debut.
Bryce Miller of the San Diego Union Tribune.
Yes, the other Bryce Miller from the Mariners is going to be writing a column in the paper tomorrow. Either way, somebody named Bryce Miller is pitching for Seattle tonight. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers.
Buehler.
Over under 9 runs. Buehler is not quite figured it out yet.
No, but he's getting better.
The Mariners are just, they really can't hit. They got shut out again last night. They strike out endlessly. But Buehler, I'm going to say, is still struggling. I'm going to go over and just kind of clench my teeth. Because 9's a lot.
Judging last night's 3, I'm going to go under.
Go under again. Okay, one more. Zach Wheeler's pitching tonight for the Phillies in Atlanta. He's one of the stalwart pitchers in the National League. 12 wins this year. 6 1/3 innings. Over under for Zach at Atlanta. 6.1. He'd have to get 6 2/3 to win.
The Braves are hanging in there, but their lineup is not what it once was.
It's disintegrating. Austin Riley now, 6 to 8 weeks.
I think I'm going to go over.
For Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
I'm going to say under. I'm going to say he has the Braves give him enough trouble to get him out after 6 innings. All right, we'll see how our picks do tomorrow. Now let's see how you do with a chance to win a pair of tickets to Friday's Padre-Mets game. That's right. I got a pair of tickets to Friday's Padres-Mets game, and I'm not going to use them for myself. Scraby's not going to be able to use them for himself. We're going to give them to you. But you have to call in to win them. Padres are making a push for the postseason. Grab tickets at padres.com/tickets. You better start kind of getting those early now, because I'm noticing there's 40,000 people at like every game.
Yeah,
it's really quite the scene. You're gonna have to answer a trivia question. So if you're calling in already to win, forget it.
Ha ha.
Scraby's gonna hang up on all of you.
I just ha ha'd. I don't know why this.
Yeah, I know you're so mean, but we don't like people to call in until I've at least given a question.
Yes.
And I know everybody.
No one follows directions.
Nobody follows directions. Everybody calls in early. So if you've called in, you're better off probably hanging up and trying
someone
again.
Someone wants to know what area the tickets are. I know what area in the stadium.
Yeah. Sorry. What? Are you gonna turn them down, sir, or ma'am, if they're not,
I'm telling you, Chris,
good enough for you
for this Scrabinator game that's happening tomorrow? I many people were very nice, but there's a couple people that just won't answer my emails back, so I have to give away their seat. I'm like, you signed up for you're getting a free game, and you
free
just
game.
Won't reply.
People are weird, man. People are weird out there. All right, here is the question: the Padres are playing the Mets. Yesterday, we asked you who was on the mound when the Minnesota Twins clinched their first World Series championship. Today we'll ask you who was on the mound when the New York Mets clinched their first World Series championship. It was the Miracle Mets of 1969. They beat the Baltimore Orioles. Who got the final out for the Mets when they won their first World Series? The first person with the correct answer to that question at 833-288-0973 will go see the Mets take on the San Diego Padres this Friday night. Call in now, and we'll come back with more Gwynn and Chris and Kirk Kenny on 97.3 The Fan. If you love Mediterranean food, and I do, try Spiro's. It's authentic Greek Mediterranean cuisine. Coronado La Jolla, also out at Petco Park. For dining or takeout options, visit SpirosCuisine.com or win a couple of tickets to the Scrabinator baseball game tomorrow. Man, Spiros has set you up.
Yes. I am so excited to say that Spiros is awesome to our show and to our station all the time.
Yeah.
But they heard me talking about last week how the food is on your own. And they contacted me to ask if I would like for food to be in the suite. And I said, yes, but, you know, there's no budget. And they're like, don't worry about it. We want to take care of the Scrabinators.
Awesome.
We want to take care of the listeners. So they're going to be bringing Euros. What is it? The Horiatiki
Euros.
Bowls?
Yeah, Horiatiki. Yeah, all the stuff.
All the stuff. And so
that's
I'm
nice.
Very thankful for Spiros. And so make sure you go take care of them because they take care of us and listeners.
But they're so good. I mean, you're doing yourself a favor. They're on the third base line there near the main concourse near the Western Metal Supply Company if you're going to Petco. But, yeah, it was really nice of Sharon over there.
They've worked really hard on this, too.
They always help us. They always do. They really do. It's fun to deal with them because they're family-owned and operated. You don't have to go into any corporate stuff. But, yeah, they heard that Scraby had his big Scrabinator ticket day in the suite tomorrow. And they called you and said, hey, let us make sure we provide some food for all the winners.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
So that's really cool tomorrow.
Originally, all I was like, you know, I think it would be good just to have like pita bread and hummus because I didn't want to impose too much because I wasn't going to have...
They're not going to give you that.
No.
They're going to give you the whole shebang.
People are going to be eating Spiros in the Scrabinator suite tomorrow.
It'll be good. Yeah, so congrats to everybody who listens to Scraby's Chronicles and who won tickets to the game through him tomorrow. Also, congrats to David out there who won tickets to Friday night's game. We're giving tickets away all over the place, Scrape.
Yes, we are.
David knew that the pitcher on the mound when the Mets clinched their first World Series championship was none other than left-hander Jerry Kuzman. Pitched a complete game in Game 5 of the 1969 World Series. It's the Miracle Mets shocked the Orioles 4-1. Final out was a deep fly ball to left field, caught just in front of the warning track by a guy by the name of Cleon Jones. I was going to ask that, and I thought, nah, that's going to be too tough. So I didn't go with Cleon. But I will tell you this. Cleon Jones caught the ball on the left field warning track and then had to run through thousands of fans that poured onto the field celebrate that World Series.
That's so crazy.
He had a difficult run to get back to safety in the dugout after that.
Yeah,
those were the days when went on the field after every match. And it was, you know what? A couple of people got hurt. So what? It was so fun. I think they finally...
A couple of people got trampled. So what?
Yeah, well, I say so what. That's right. It was fun for like 20,000 people. So two people got hurt. That's a good percentage as far as I'm concerned. Sorry to... what was the guy, the kid on Duke who got bumped into by a Wake Forest fan last year? Remember him?
He plays for the Jazz now. And
yeah.
It's a whole thing because his girlfriend apparently stole him from his family.
That's not what I was bringing it up for, but a Kyle something or other. Bob Bollinger will text me in a minute.
Oh, Filipowski.
Yeah. Yeah, well, poor Filipowski. And poor wasn't Caitlin Clark, I think, got touched after an Iowa game.
She took a dive, though.
She took a dive. So did Filipowski.
I know. Adam just ran down the hallway to tell us, okay, we got to do this.
This is breaking news.
We were getting to it.
Oh, is he that upset that we didn't tell everybody?
I don't know what's happening, but he literally just ran down the hallway. I know. We know. We were just getting to it, okay?
Look, everybody on the chat who follows who's on Twitter every second probably knows Ha-Seong Kim is indeed going on the injured list.
10-day IL.
10-day IL for Ha-Seong Kim. Shoulder injury. May have seen that he hurt the shoulder on Sunday trying to get back to first base on a pickoff attempt against the Colorado Rockies.
Matthew Batten.
Yes, Matthew Batten has been recalled. The Padres say for now, they're hoping it's not longer than 10 days, but they're leaving open that possibility, unfortunately. Tyler Wade is in the lineup tonight. That doesn't mean that they won't start switching things around, you know, putting Cronenworth at some shortstop, etc. We'll see.
I'm happy if they're saying it could be just a 10-day stint.
Hopefully it's only 10 for Ha-Seong Kim.
Yes.
All right.
We'll have more to come on that.
But I'd rather talk about Cleon Jones or
I don't know if we
free
should go
food
back
at Sparrow's
to that
or whatever we got to talk about.
I feel like we're in trouble now.
I know Adam's upset with us because look, the news came down during the break. What are we supposed to interrupt the commercial break?
And I.
Come on.
Oh, Tony or Adam was just Adam's okay. Now I get it. He's on a meeting. He's not able to listen to the show, so I get it now. It's fine.
He was running in the back not to get mad at us.
You know what? I'm going to take away my anger and because he really was just letting us know that we had some big news. So
we did, and we gave it to you. If you're wondering, the Minnesota Twins lineup is in for tonight. I only mention that because leading off tonight in left field for the Twins, one of our all-time favorites, Manny Margot.
Sorry. Say it again.
I told you during the break, be ready.
I know.
Leading off for the Twins in left field, Manny Margot.
Manny Margot just got a haircut.
What? I miss him.
God, I miss Fran Mill. I set it up with you. I'm like, during the break, I'm like, have the Fran Mill thing ready for Manny Margot.
You know what
you're like, okay. And then I go to it and you weren't ready.
You know what you need to do, though? You need to go and be like, okay, I'm going to do this first so that I'm not just randomly calling for it after we get in trouble with the boss.
We're not in trouble with the boss.
I know.
We're in good stead everywhere.
Yes.
All right, everybody won Padre tickets. And if you didn't win Padre tickets, come on Thursday. Come visit us down there at Casa Octavio, the corner 10th and J. And we're giving away 3 pair of tickets on Thursday, so you can go see the Padres Mets on Thursday. In the meantime, big week for the Aztecs. Football. Next Saturday is the opener. My goodness, it's that close. And Danny O'Neill is the new quarterback. Kirk Kenny visited with Tony and I a little earlier to get the lowdown on the new QB for San Diego State. Find out about it after traffic. And indeed, we are visiting with Kirk Kenny from the San Diego Union Tribune, beat writer, covers the San Diego State Aztecs for life. And Kirk, big news out of Aztec camp this week, actually over the weekend. I think you broke the story, but true freshman Danny O'Neill will be leading the Aztecs this year as their new quarterback. Something that has never before happened at San Diego State, where a true freshman is getting the reins, huh?
Yeah, I wrote a few weeks ago that I thought one of the other guys, a sophomore transfer, A.J. Duffy, was the leader in the clubhouse. And if this did come to pass that Danny O'Neill became the guy, it would be historic, and so it is.
What was it about the young man that really solidified the spot and, you know, pretty much setting history here at San Diego State? What was it about his performance during spring and in the summer and all that? How did that transpire?
Sean Lewis said what kind of set him apart was his accuracy and also just the way he processed things. One thing with this Aztec fast offense, you need to be able to process more quickly than other offenses because they're often not going to huddle, and they're going to just try and run plays as quickly as they can to keep the defense on its heels. And so I guess Danny O'Neill showed the ability to process more quickly than the other two. He's been pretty impressive. He graduated early from high school to be here in the spring, and so that kind of helped him get up to speed, and then he showed what he could do here in the training camp right before the season starts.
Give us a little more background on Danny O'Neill. Kirk, I know he's from Indianapolis. Is this the same highly recruited, or am I just way off? Is this the same quarterback that had some contact with Sean Lewis at Colorado? Or because I thought I remember hearing something about somebody following Lewis from there to here.
That is correct. He originally committed to Colorado, okay. And then when Sean Lewis was hired here, Danny O'Neill followed him here. He was a 3-year starter at Cathedral High School in Indianapolis. Led him as a sophomore to a state title and set several school records before he was done.
So he obviously had a good relationship with Coach Lewis going in then. I mean, was it Lewis who recruited him to Colorado directly or?
Yes, I believe so. They obviously developed a pretty good rapport. And I mean, if you're a quarterback and this is the kind of offense that's going to – I mean, there's going to be some balance to it, but they're going to run more plays. You're going to get more opportunities to pass and really show what you can do.
Obviously, Danny O'Neill's the story in terms of the quarterback position, but this whole, you know, part of the intrigue of Coach Lewis coming in here is that this offense is going to look a lot different than what we've looked like, than what it's looked like in the past. In terms of the skill position, out wide receiver, where what is that looking like? What kind of talent is Mr. O'Neill going to be throwing to this year?
I've been pretty impressed. They brought in several transfers, and a couple of those. Well, let me interrupt myself. One thing is, there are three guys who are potentially going to start have been injured with some nicks and bruises, but they should be ready for the season. Behind them, there's three other guys that we saw in the scrimmage 2 weeks ago, and they showed some skill as well. So I think there's a lot of depth there. The starters I mentioned, one's name is Jashawn Polk, and he's done very well. And then another one is, let me see, I'm mixing up the names here. Nate Bennett came from Portland State. He's been a guy that's done pretty well. And then Lewis Brown, the fourth, some Aztec fans may have seen him. He played last year at Colorado State, and he's done very well as well. And then a top returner for the Aztecs is Makai Shaw, a kid who grew up at Scripps Ranch and has stepped out for the Aztecs and done well.
Kirk, do you think this decision Sean Lewis made to start a true freshman, Danny O'Neill, at quarterback, does this say anything about who Sean Lewis is in terms of, I don't know, his ability, his willingness to roll the dice a little bit, take a chance? You know, he's starting a new program his first year, kind of get the freshman in there, get his feet wet right off the bat, and, you know, see if he can't make something of this long term.
I don't think he looks at it like rolling the dice at all. People have thrown several different kind of questions at him and what came into this decision. And he kind of was saying age is just a number. He said at one point he was the youngest head coach in football. So to have a true freshman quarterback, he's not really looking at the freshman next to his name. He's just looking at on the field and in the classroom how well doing. And he says this is the kid he thinks gives them the best chance to win in week one. And so that's the kid they're going with.
What is the conference going to look like this year, Kirk? It looks like Boise State seems to be the clear-cut favorite in the Mountain West. Are there some other teams outside of the possible Aztecs that could walk up and surprise this Boise State team?
It's interesting because the transfer portal has taken hold so much that, I would say San Diego State has more than half of its roster has turned over, and I don't think that's all that unusual for schools around the conference now. Boise State, I think, has probably been selected as the team to beat 12 straight years. But some of the other ones that people are looking at are UNLV, which last year had its best season in 30 years. They lost their quarterback, who's now at USC, but they have several other guys returning, and their coaching staff seems to be pretty on the ball. So that's a team to watch. Another one will be Fresno State. And then I've been hearing some people talking as well about Colorado State. So those are four teams right there that people will be watching. And then you never know what Air Force is going to have from year to year, but their offense can give a team some trouble.
Yeah, they can. Kirk Kenny is with us from the San Diego Union-Tribune. Aztec football coming up just about 10, 11 days away from the season opener for the Aztecs next Saturday, a week from Saturday. Kirk, the Aztecs had not a single player, if I'm not mistaken, selected to the preseason all-conference team. I think you wrote that it was the first time this has ever happened, or the first time in years and years and years. Is Sean Lewis the kind of guy that may use something like this to kind of challenge his guys a little bit and say, hey, I know I have some all-conference players in this locker room, you know, so who's going to step up and grab it?
I think they could use that for a little bit of motivation, but I think it's more so that, it shows all the transfers going all over and new faces popping up. Because San Diego State, you know, they didn't have any players named to that all-conference team, and yet in their backfield as a kid, he's a transfer from Ball State named Marquez Cooper, and he's the NCAA's active career rushing leader. So I would think that's a guy that might be able to show a little something, and I would think would be, you know, a guy who would challenge to be an all-conference player.
A lot of focus in this conversation, Kirk, has been on the offensive side. On the defensive side, what did the Aztecs look like? Will they be a formidable defense to be able to kind of support what we all hope is going to be an explosive offense?
I think that's a little bit about to be determined. There's a lot of changeover on the defense as well. Key, I think, will be up front, is going to be getting some edge rushers going that can get to the quarterback, and they brought in a couple guys there as well. So we'll see if they can do a little bit there. I think their strength will be in the secondary. Got some veteran leaders back there. And, you know, so many guys that have to come in and really kind of get to know the guy next to them and see if they can mesh pretty quickly. So I think there's some athleticism there. It's just going to be a matter of do they kind of come together and how quickly that happens.
Yeah, it's so interesting because this is now college sports, right? I mean, this is what it's going to be. I have a feeling, Kirk, other than hopefully Danny O'Neill, who's coming, you know, if we're sitting here with you next, you know, this time next year, you know, hopefully O'Neill's back at quarterback. I think we're going to be talking about this almost every year now, right? That teams are going to be changing and there's going to be all kinds of different players and guys lining up and different, you know, transferring because this is just the way it is, right?
Yeah, I would completely agree with that, especially at this level. I think I've talked to a few people and they said coaches need to just embrace that they're going to be feeder programs. It's almost like the minor leagues. You know, that their players, once they have a good season, they're probably going to lose them because some Power 5 school is going to come and throw some money at them and get the kids to come. That's exactly what we saw with UNLV last year. Their quarterback had a really breakout season. He initially said he was going to transfer to Georgia, and then he ends up transferring to USC, which I'm guessing is he got a better offer. And so the Aztecs, I think, lost a dozen players to Power 5 schools last season after it was over. And I just think that's going to kind of be the new way. One thing that will be interesting is, will the NCAA try and put any guardrails on it with rules or regulations over the next couple of years? But I kind of believe the cat's out of the bag here.
Yeah, it'll be weird. But I think for this year, at least, it's a good thing because the Aztecs are coming off a tough season, a season that did not go their way. But you know, with all these transfers and with Sean Lewis and his enthusiasm and now a freshman exciting quarterback, maybe things can turn around very, very quickly. Kirk, thanks so much, as always.
Thanks, Kirk.
Great talking to you, sir, and we'll see you out at the old ball yard, as they say.
All right, guys. You take care.
Kirk Kenny right there, and you got the latest on the San Diego State football situation. I'm wearing my Fernando Tatis Jr. City Connect bucket hat.
He sure is.
Presented by UC San Diego Health. That's because Thursday night, the game we're going to give three pair of tickets away to, during our live show Thursday. But Thursday night, Padres are giving these away to the first 40,000 fans in attendance.
That looks like a good dog walking hat for me.
They will look a lot better on you
than
it does on me.
Oh, I see. You as in the people out there.
You and the people out there. Yeah, it'll look good on you. I don't think it'll look too good on me, but what the hell. this is it. So Thursday night, if you're not going to the game already, get your tickets. Padres, Mets, Tatis Jr. bucket hat. Next, it's Chris versus the fans. Play some trivia. 833-288-0973.